Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello and welcome back to The Review of Death, a Doctor Who podcast, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews. I'm Matthew Toffolo. I'm joined by Billy Garrett-John.
Hello.
And we're chatting about Doctor Who. We're talking about Doctor Who cartoons. But first, before we go into Doctor Who animations of Dreamland and Infinite Quest, we've got to do some news stuff.
We've got to do some news. I mean, the main thing to talk about really would be Russell signalling that these spin-offs are
happening. Yes, that was in GQ magazine,
wasn't it? It was in GQ magazine. Matthew, I have the interview with me right now.
Oh, very good.
And it goes something like this. Russell was mentioning how when he left Doctor Who, nobody was there to kind of do spin-offs.
Yeah.
Or cared about them, or whatever the situation might be.
So I think he mentions that the money wasn't really there. Like, the money needed to be focused on the main programme.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he said, so I thought, with no criticism whatsoever towards the people who were running it at the time, which absolutely, I'm sure he was thinking, I need to say that to stop people being arseholes about this on Twitter, specifically Twitter.
I mean, to be fair, we did get a spin-off under Stephen Moffat, didn't we? We got Class.
Yeah, but I think he means ones that aren't shit.
Generally. Good ones.
It was time for the next stage of Doctor Who. I thought the streaming platforms are ready, the spin-offs are ready. I always believed in spin-offs when I was there. I did Torchwood as a spin-off. I did Sarah Jane Adventures as a spin-off. Those spin-offs declined when I left, and I can see why. And very much after 2008, when the money became scarce, I think that's fair enough on the public service broadcaster. And then Disney Plus come along, and he's like, let's do this. So I guess that doesn't necessarily mean, by the way, you're getting 12 plus spin-offs over the next 2 years. But it means that they're at least talking about it, and that is at least part of the Disney Plus verse.
Well, I mean, I was reading, literally in bed last night, I was reading Doctor Who magazine, and it was Scott Hancock's production notes, and he mentioned that...
Friend of the show.
He mentioned that Russell had got him to research something for 2 years' time.
Right.
And he's like, wow, you know, they're really thinking ahead. They've got a proper game plan going
on
here.
I hope so. Yeah. Well, we've got a game plan and we're thinking ahead as well.
Yeah.
Because, and season 9 came out on the collection sets. Yeah.
I mean, and that already feels like setting up a spin-off with...
Do you reckon with Joe Grant?
The Joe Grant adventures.
Yeah, but...
Joe Jones.
You're only saying that... I mean, if they replaced season 9 with season 2 in the running order, everyone would be saying, Vicky's about to get her own spin-off set in Roman times.
Ancient Greece.
But it's not going to happen. I mean, that would be cool, but...
I think that's actually a shame that they didn't do that.
Yeah,
that they didn't.
The Joe Jones adventures.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's getting all her big spin-offs now anyway.
I know, gosh, she's doing everything.
Bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Katie Manning's all over the place, as we know, and God bless her for it.
Yeah.
So we have got some spin-offs of our own to pitch, Matthew.
Yes.
I will say out loud, rights reserved, Rod Productions or whatever.
Yeah, I've got one that I'm particularly like.
Yeah, I've got a couple like, I'm like, oh, I hope they don't nick it now.
Yeah.
Because we've had our ideas nicked by the BBC before, and we know. So, do you want to go with your first one?
So my first one, so we had to think of four, didn't we?
Think of four, one had to be an animation.
One had to be an animation. Well, the animation is the one that I'm most proud of, so I'm going to leave that to last.
Okay.
So, first off, we've got Cooking with Shockeye. Shockeye takes us through all the ways to cook throughout Doctor Who land with real contestants, and if they get it wrong, they get served for dinner.
I bet you made it look like a right because I've taken it seriously.
Well, I mean, so I've taken a couple seriously.
This is, no, but this is like Can't Cook, Won't Cook, Red Dwarf edition is basically what you're picturing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then when they do the Cannibal edition.
Yeah.
Tabitha and...
oh, they come on a special guest. On.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're used to the taste of each other, so...
Yeah, there we are. Best way to carve a breast, I don't know.
Fuck off. Right, go on, what's your next one?
Next one is... this is a bit of a cheat because Big Finish have already done it, but...
I didn't mention that in the rules, so...
That is true. So I've always thought it was a shame that we didn't get to see more of UNIT in the 90s. So yeah. I would love to have seen a Brigadier Bambera series. But I think, obviously, use Angela Bruce now.
Yeah. We should... I'm just kidding. I'm cooking with Shaka. Sorry.
Use Angela Bruce now, and maybe she's got her own separate division of UNIT.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
I think they'd be a bit more... She was a really feisty and gung-ho. Mm. You know, obviously, Kate Stewart's a bit more sciencey.
Cardboardy.
And that.
Yeah.
So I think this would be more like... There's a series called The Bad Batch from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And they're like a hit squad of clone troopers. Mm. And I think it would be like that. Okay. It would be, or be like Suicide Squad. She'd be like the Amanda Waller, right, who like runs the show. And she's got like henpicked different soldiers from around the world that know how to deal with
shoulders. Shoulders? Soldiers are related to Doctor Who?
I mean, they could be.
Or is
they
this
could,
like Graham they, and Joe coming in from the self-help group? Oh, no, you,
I think you'd need some actual people who could do something.
People who go, on my back. All right.
Yeah, sorry.
All right, well, you've done two, I'll do two. Space Security Service. It's Terry Nation's The Destroyer's pilot.
Ooh.
Without the Daleks in it.
Right.
And it's Sarah Kingdom
and
Mark Seven.
And a man called Tarrant.
And or Avon, probably. Yeah. And it's them, you know, it's the space opera spin-off.
Yeah.
And that is how you get in all the monsters that won't make it into the main series.
Yeah.
But when they need a monster of the week,
yeah,
you can say, oh no, it's a Tractator. Oh no, it's a Pteroleptil. But aesthetically, maybe not in terms of how it's shot. I mean, if you wanted to go the whole hog, you could do it as a studio-based multicam thing and make it really fun. A bit like all the stuff they were playing with on WandaVision. Is that what it was called?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it's basically, aesthetically, looks like a 60s sci-fi show.
Okay.
All their uniforms
are
60s.
Yeah.
The spaceship is 60s.
Yeah.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah. So that's your kind of fun run around.
I'm sort of imagining it more like Andor, where everyone's got 70s haircuts, but only 60s haircuts.
Big time.
And all the uniforms are
beehives.
Very much, yeah.
You know, close crop sort of things going on.
But it's
on.
All shot in HD.
Exactly.
And, you know, yeah.
And then some weird alien hippie with glasses on comes out of the trees and goes, here, have a smog at this, man. And they're like, it's a communist. We must kill him. But yeah.
Smoking Varga pants.
From your Sutex to your, you know, Sensorites, anyone that isn't going to make it into the main show.
Yeah.
Like, Sutek could be the big bad of the first series. Mm. But, you know, anyone that isn't going to transition over, you've got lots to choose from. I mean, I'm surprised we've got Beat the Meep in the main series before Beat the Meep appeared in
Sarah Jane Adventures. That is true, because Beat the Meep feels like a Sarah Jane Adventures
character. Absolutely. The other one, my second one, it's Torchwood 1989.
Oh!
It's Manchester.
Right.
1989.
He really did think seriously about these things. I didn't.
I've got it all written down. The Thatcher government is on the brink.
Right.
The raves are just starting.
Yeah.
Probably in barns in the West Country. And terror stalks the very likely cobbled streets of the Northwest. It is eat your heart out, gore, sex. It's if It's a Sin was set in Manchester.
Mm.
But instead of AIDS, it was weevils. Basically is what it is. And it's all like, it's all the kind of neon of the nightclubs and the Hacienda and people getting brutalized on cobble streets in Manchester. And it's
And then a weevil turns up.
And, you know, it's like, but this episode's like, oh, this new drug, man, has started to get out onto the streets and stuff. And it's, you know, like damaged goods.
Yeah,
and it's
that
sort of era.
Cool.
And it's, because you know, you can seep yourself in the reality of it and stuff. And that is your opportunity, Russell, to get all your cocks and weevils out of the way.
So my penultimate one.
Yeah.
technically isn't my idea. It was Annie's idea. Because okay. I couldn't think of any. I'm not really good with spin-offs. Because I'm not really in the spin-off mindset. No, I'm quite envious of some of your ideas. Because that one was pretty good. And so was the other one. So Annie said, how about a aerobics fitness class with Bonnie Langford as Mel?
But at the end, she has to be menaced by something.
And scream.
And has to hit that note and then go into the theme tune.
Yeah.
As long as, but it's a different monster that comes through the wall every week.
Yeah.
Oh no, it's what's the one from The Twin Dilemma?
Mestor.
It's Mestor. You know. Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Okay. But what I actually put thought into.
This is your one.
But the one that I really like, my animation, is Frobisher's Detective Agency.
Yeah.
Fully animated. It looks like Batman the Animated Series. Mm. It's all film noir. Mm. But it's as weird and wacky as an episode of Animaniacs.
Great.
And it can be completely off the wall.
Yeah.
It can be slightly serious, but then it just goes batshit.
Breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah. He's got a sidekick called John Smith, who's played by Colin Baker.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
He's like his chauffeur.
Yeah.
He drives him around town, helps him out, doing bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
So that is your top of most of the pop
that is,
most.
Yeah.
Frobisher Investigates. I want to see fan art for all of these, by the way.
There we go.
I want to log on Twitter within a day or two and see people putting together beautiful photo collages of our ideas. My next one I will pitch is also my cartoon.
Right.
The Thrilling Adventures of Jenny.
Jenny who?
Jenny who?
Oh, his daughter?
Yeah.
All right.
But in the first episode, she's got a parcel. And it's a robot dog.
No.
And it's K9 and Jenny.
Right.
And they rip around the universe. Yep. And
that was another one that I've thought of as an animation. It would be good as a K9 series.
Yeah, but I think you need somebody anthropomorphic
to
sort of do shit.
Yeah.
And I think, it would be helpful to have somebody established from the series. And it's like, maybe ignore the Big Finish continuity because nobody listened to those box sets. But within
all
a week.
All the comic books.
All the comic books. Oh, we share comic books.
She's in some Titan comic books.
Oh, no. Within a week of her jetting off at the end of The Doctor's Daughter.
Yeah.
Ten has sent her a K9 to look after her.
But he doesn't know she's alive, does she?
No,
he doesn't know she's alive.
He finds out through the Times, through tomorrow's Times.
Right.
That she's doing something.
And he thinks to himself, well, if I couldn't even be asked to visit my granddaughter.
Do you know what?
And I actually was partly involved in, having a born.
If he hasn't got visitation rights, she might be trying to get over some stuff.
Yeah.
There might be some daddy issues going on.
Right.
Especially if your daddy was also the doctor.
Yeah.
And then turned into this doctor. And then that doctor marries you. There could be all sorts of
Maybe
stuff.
Maybe we should just do Jenny Who's therapy sessions.
Maybe, yeah. Mm. God. Let's hope she isn't pregnant. and then the last one I've got is, I wanted an anthology series.
Right.
Because I love anthology shows. I love Tales from the Unexpected and Inside Number 9 and all that kind of stuff. So I've got The Black Scrolls.
No.
Stories from the Dark Times.
No.
And it's basically Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
It's that sort of era of time all through the universe. Maybe they've got rudimentary space travel. But it's less tits and more great vampires.
Right. I mean, vampires, you have to have tits. There has to be cleavage and bosom when you have vampires.
There
involved.
Wasn't an awful lot of that in State of Decay, though.
Oh, the... What's her name? Camilla. She's got her tits up
Is
to her neck.
She walks out?
Yeah.
I have to be honest, I wasn't looking, Matthew. I was paying attention to the story and Terence Dix's wonderful writing.
Take the Kothica.
Those are my ideas anyway. So... I want to see some
massive tits on
some
vampires.
No, because then people will draw them. I want to see some nice fan art of our ideas, putting them into a nice little tight package so BBC Studios can nick them as well.
Yeah, very good.
But anyway, coming up right now. By the way, who won this, Matthew?
Don't know. Tell me who won it.
Their name is. I'm going to select it at complete random, and their name is. Because you left me your address, Sam Banks. You have won this fantastic
well done, Sam.
Big Finish CD set, and it is on your way to you.
Congratulations. And Jonathan did listen to the podcast. He mentioned it. So
there you go.
There we go. Enjoy that, Sam.
Enjoy what's going to come up now, which is our chat as well about...
Oh, shit.
Russell T Davies, he said something else, didn't he? Oh. Doctor Who was in Bristol. Hang on.
Okay.
I watched Doctor Who being filmed in Bristol.
I went up as well the same day.
Did you see anything?
Not really.
Neither did you?
No.
Yeah. Everything that was worth seeing I saw on Twitter hours later.
Much closer and in much better quality than my eyes could have made out from the other side of the road.
Yeah. But I went through the filming, like as they were sort of setting up shots, we walked through the road because they let us go.
So
they were very nice.
When it goes out, you can say I walked on that cobble within a quarter of an hour of Millie Gibson doing the same.
Yeah, but it was with Annie's parents. So they were all excited that, like, oh wow, we'll be able to see this road that we've walked on in Doctor Who when it comes out next year. And my uncle was going to buy a flat at the end of that road. I was so annoyed. I was like, Mario, if you'd have bought that flat, I could have been up there now.
But I know that you said to him, sort of behind, you know, closed doors, like, if you stay closer to Paul McGann, it's better for all of us.
Oh, that is true. So, yeah, he is closer to Paul McGann.
There you go.
Does
that triangulated Paul McGann's location enough?
Might have doxed Paul McGann,
but never know.
Russell T Davies, he said he'd like to see all of classic Doctor Who on iPlayer.
And do you know what? I have seen, I think it may have been renewed, but we were in the pub not long ago.
Yeah.
And we looked on our phones and, oh my God, BritBox says it's going to lose classic Who on a particular date. Mm. That may have just been, for that moment, a placeholder date.
Yeah.
But it seems to me that it makes perfect sense. Stick all of it on iPlayer. Mm. Because that interview seemed to him be Russell basically saying it makes zero sense for it to be spread here, there and everywhere. If you bring it all together, does that also mean that worldwide Disney Plus gets all of classic
That was
Who?
What I was going to say. Maybe it has got like an exclusivity for a little while, and then after, I guess maybe Disney Plus will see how well Doctor Who is doing, and maybe they'll be like, we want a bit more of this. Can we have some old stuff?
Yeah, maybe they'll say, okay, we'll do the new stuff and up to 2005.
Yeah.
And then if people really dig it, then we'll do 89 to 63.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
About the film? What about the movie? That's on BritBox, isn't it, though?
I think it is. Mm. I think so.
Okay, maybe that's all right.
Well, I kind of imagine that Russell has been basically going, because, you know, he came into the situation in 2004, 2003, whenever it was, and he started having proper meetings with them and was like, right, what have we got? And they're like, we haven't got the Daleks, we can't do any of the TV movie stuff. And so he's like, oh shit, right. So I bet he's come into it now and gone, let's just sort all this out so that I don't have to deal with it and nobody else that comes up behind me has to deal with it.
Yeah.
Let's just get all this sorted now. So I would not be surprised if all of that is put to bed and we can get a TV movie TARDIS, which would be wonderful and is all I want really in life. And we can get the Canal Studios thing to chill out, and we can get proper movie Daleks and a Cushing figure or something like that.
That would be cool. Yeah. That would be cool. So yeah, who knows? That would be really nice to have people to have access to that. Without having to pay for it.
Yeah, for the library.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed. I mean, as of us recording, none of this has been confirmed. God, who knows? Things might change in the 3 days between now and then, because Doctor Who is moving ever so quickly.
It is. It's bonkers, really.
And you think, like, even like tonight, as of us recording this, I think the BBC Doctor Who Twitter is reaching William Hartnell. In its, because it's been tweeting back.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's sort of thinking, it's been doing this every day for the last however long. So maybe even when I check my phone now, we'll have a 16th Doctor. And that will have happened.
Have they done, what's her chops, Jo Martin yet?
They didn't include Jo Martin as part of the rundown, actually.
No. Oh. Well, she would be before William Hartnell.
Maybe Jo Martin's today.
Maybe. Who knows?
I'll check.
Who knows? Does that even count anymore?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Well, fucking anything could happen in the 60th anniversary special. We don't know. God, will the timeless children just be undone like that?
Maybe.
You never know.
Yeah.
We you know, some people, I'm sure, will be thinking we can but hope. But other people are thinking, come see, come saw. TARDIS here, TARDIS there, TARDIS everywhere. It doesn't really matter.
Anyway, is us chatting about Infinite Quest and Dreamland. Enjoy.
See you later.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, and welcome back to The Review of Death, a Doctor Who podcast, your fortnightly home for Doctor Who news and reviews, and I am Matthew Toffolo, and this is Billy Garrett-John, and today we're going to be talking about...
What?
Mad Doctor Who animations.
I tell you what a weird period in history that we've just zapped ourselves back to.
I know, I was quite surprised. The whole thing was pretty bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're doing this because... David Tennant rules supreme.
Yeah.
And this is, in all likelihood, his last sort of massive swing at I'm Doctor Who.
Yeah.
So why not go back and look at the weird minutiae of his...
Yeah, these little curios.
Yeah, these weird sort of periods of time.
Yeah.
So we're looking at The Infinite Quest and Dreamland today, which is all very exciting. Just off the top of your head...
Yes.
Can you remember those two... animations coming out? Obviously, they're about sort of 2 years or a year and a half apart.
Yeah, so I remember The Infinite Quest better.
Yes.
Because obviously it was part of Totally
Doctor Who.
So that had... Well, I say I remember it better. I can remember them being on the programme. Mm. But then when we watched it the other day, I was like, fuck me, I can't remember any of this.
Same, exactly the same.
Dreamland... Again, I can't really remember. I had to look it up, like how it was released, because I can't really remember how this happened.
Mm.
And I guess I must have watched it.
Yeah, same.
But
I have no memory of it at all.
No, I sort of vaguely remembered the start.
Yeah.
And then everything after like the first 5 minutes.
That
was
is
completely
the same for
new.
Both of them for me.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever finished Infinite Quest.
Right.
I definitely didn't finish Dreamland.
I don't think I've ever finished Dreamland.
No, but I think. I mean, the animation put me off to start with, but we'll get there.
Yeah.
But The Infinite Quest, we'll start with that.
Yeah.
We'll go through The Infinite Quest.
Yeah.
Broadcast between the 2nd of April and the 29th of June, 2007.
Mm-hmm.
That was the 12 weeks that Totally Doctor Who was on air. But there was a 13th segment, obviously, to bring it up to 13 episodes of Doctor Who, 13 3.5 minute segments of The Infinite Quest.
Mm-hmm.
But you could only watch segment 13 if you watched the Omnibus edition, which went out on the 30th of June.
Right.
Which was the same day as Last of the Time Lords.
Right.
So this was broadcast earlier in the day.
Right.
So there's no way you would have actually been able to finish it without
watching the whole thing
the way through from the start.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you can, watching it as a whole thing, you can, it feels narratively. Very
yes,
it feels like little snippets.
It does.
And you sort of think, oh, okay, but at the same time, I think it does work better as a whole piece.
It's a weird sort of mix of those.
It's
feelings
really
for
weird,
me.
Yeah.
Because you watch it and you think, I mean, this is more cohesive as a whole.
Yeah.
But then you've got segments that are more talky than others.
Yeah.
And you are mentally sort of chopping it up into 3.5 minute parts.
Yeah.
Thinking, okay, that's where the cliffhanger was. Yeah. That's where that cliffhanger was. And although Dreamland was also cut into segments, it was cut into 6 episodes. And you can also sort of see where those, you know, different breaks lie.
Yeah.
This, I feel like it's more to the detriment of the story than for Dreamland.
Yeah, Dreamland, I think, plays as... I mean, Dreamland... I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but watching it, I was like, this should have been an episode of Doctor Who.
We'll get there.
Oh, interesting.
We'll get there.
Okay,
we'll get there.
Okay.
Current Doctor Who script editor Scott Hancock,
yay,
friend of the show, is credited as production runner on The Infinite Quest.
Wow.
James Goss is credited as producer.
Yeah.
And it was animated by Firestep. Now, I want to kind of discuss this.
Right.
Because it looks... a lot like Cosgrove Hall.
Yeah.
Even down to, there's a particular angle that they get Tennant from with the way his lips move.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is basically the Troughton animation from The Invasion.
Interesting.
And I'm wondering whether or not maybe art was shared between the two of them.
Maybe.
But there's nothing that I could find.
No, interesting. Because I actually thought all the way through, oh, this is Cosgrove Hall.
Exactly.
But clearly not.
They're still in business. They're under a different name now. But they also produce the browser games Eye of the TARDIS and
that.
Doctor in a Dash.
Can't remember
I don't
any
know
of these.
If anybody out there can remember that, but they were responsible for those. Two
okay.
browser games as well.
This art was used for the Top Trumps game as well, wasn't it?
It was. It was also used. Was it not used for the Doctor Who comic strip maker?
Possibly.
That was like a browser thing that was on the website for a bit as well. It's got a pretty good cast, this.
Yeah.
Anthony Head, obviously, as Balthazar, the main villain. Lisa Tarbuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who plays the ship,
the pirate
captain.
Yeah.
Or, who had previously appeared in Plague of the Daleks, a big Finnish audio drama.
Right.
And was also interviewed for Doctor Who Live, The Next Doctor.
Oh.
Little plug. That is the next Patreon exclusive commentary that's coming up. So we're going to subject ourselves to Doctor Who Live, The Next Doctor, and Doctor Who Live, The After Party.
Oh my God.
So if you want to see us watching both of those, you've got to subscribe to the Patreon. Paul Clayton, who played Mr. Bartle in Planet of the Ood.
Right.
No idea. Barney Harwood is also in this, playing a bit part character vocally.
Oh, really?
I think they must have shot something for Totally Doctor Who, like, here's me as a voice actor in Doctor Who, and here's I in the studio, blah, blah, blah. And also a veritable who's that of other Big Finish.
I was going to say, it was like a really, like, hearing the different voices, like, you've done Big Finish. There's Big Finish alumni
There's
in this one.
Quite a few in Dreamland as well.
Yeah, but it makes sense because Gary Russell directed this, so
He directed both of them,
yeah.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised to see that he did Dreamland as well. I thought because of ties to Doctor Who animation stuff in the present, like sort of 2D animation, I thought, oh, okay, but it makes sense that...
But we know Gary was working in Australia on some other cartoons. I don't know if those were maybe 3D animations or...
See, I thought those were 2D, but I could be completely wrong.
Maybe.
It was nice to see Gary's name.
So Balthazar, the Scourge of the Galaxy, is on a quest, an infinite quest, for a legendary ship called the Infinite, which grants the individual who finds it their heart's desire. Mm. Matthew, what would your heart's desire be?
My heart's desire.
A working
boiler. Yeah. I don't know. This is a PG podcast.
Karen Gillan, Jenna Coleman.
Jenna Coleman for me, I'm afraid.
I'll take Karen Gillan.
You are Karen Gillan.
The Doctor and Martha set off to find it before Balthazar, after he breaks out of prison. Little do they know Balthazar is using them to locate the Infinite for himself. That is basically the story.
That is the plot, yeah.
And out of the two, by a long way, this is the easiest to follow. Because when you start to break down the elements of Dreamland, because my God, I mean, maybe it was just the distraction of having to look at Dreamland.
Right.
You know, which infected my eyeballs.
We are going to have massively differing opinions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is interesting.
All right. It kind of felt like a low-key, truncated Key to Time.
Yeah.
For me, this.
But rather than searching for segments of the Key to Time, they were just nicking AirPods off of people.
They were nicking various items from corpses.
Yeah.
That is kind of it.
Yeah. It was like, oh, this is Andy. Somebody's
died.
So we're just nicking.
Thank you very much. They're still warm. It was around the second body that I started to think, oh, there's something going on here. I wonder what it could be.
Mm. That lizard guy, he was liquidated, wasn't he?
I loved him.
He was good, wasn't he?
He was my favourite character, the iguana.
I've got to say, visually, now, the animation style is obviously incredibly primitive. You know, it's very limited. You know, particularly for the human characters, you know, the Doctor and Martha don't really move. It's mainly their faces moving.
There's a couple of rotoscoped bits of the 10th Doctor, I noticed.
Oh, was there? Yeah.
There's one of him walking away when they first land on the snowy planet.
Oh, yes.
On the prison planet.
Yeah.
And there's one, I think, right at the end. I think it's when they're on the Infinite.
Yeah.
Where his silhouette is coming out of the smoke and it's somebody in a trench coat.
Okay.
It could be Scott Hancock, for all I know.
Could be.
Who's been rotoscoped.
Yeah.
But... there was enough of a, you know, variation animation for me to kind of
latch onto. Okay, because I mean, you can sort of, it's mainly like vehicles and aliens are more animated.
They're three-dimensional.
Because they're 3D elements. Yeah. But what I will say is I think on a visual level, there's some really imaginative stuff in this.
Oh my God, yeah.
I love the robot oil rigs.
Oh, I was just about to
Cool. The iguana guy is good. Yeah. Because that's the sort of thing that you think, this is why Doctor Who as a cartoon or as a comic book really works.
Absolutely.
Because that would cost so much money to make a great iguana head like that.
Absolutely.
It would be impossible. So to be able to do it in animation and it looked really good.
There was something so Studio Ghibli about that.
Yeah.
That oil rig thing.
It's really cool.
Because I don't know if it's, maybe it's just a difference in art styles between somebody literally drawing something with a pen.
Yeah.
And somebody who has to model a 3D element and then combine it with another 3D element and da-da-da-da. But that oil rig, that walking oil rig, that's something that could only come from somebody drawing it.
Yeah.
And it's the same with the iguana dude.
Yeah.
Like, it just expands the universe.
Yeah.
And it makes it so much more interesting. Beep the Meep, right? As a very, very, you know, vanilla example of that. You know, I'm not sure. The adipose is about as close as you can get to cutesy, but also being kind of a bit evil.
Yeah.
But that is an idea that I feel like could only come from somebody's pen.
Yeah.
Drawing and, you know, coming up with that idea and they're all cutesy and cool and then suddenly they're whipping out a gun on you and all that sort of stuff. It feels so comic book.
Yeah.
And yeah, that iguana dude and the walking bits. And like you say, the 3D elements really gel nicely together, even if it's Balthazar's head sort of swinging back and forth.
Yep.
That Mr. Swab, I think his name is. Is that it?
The skeleton.
The skeleton dude.
Those were really cool.
Those looked so awesome. Cool. The skeleton crew is such a cool idea. But his head moving back and forth was all CG animated. The ships that were flying around were all CG animated. It's really only the visual interpretations of David Tennant and Martha Jones and Freema Agyeman that kind of let it down a little bit.
Well, this is the thing. Like, I think Freema looks great. I think they've done a really good job. David Tennant does not look like David Tennant. His face is so weird.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, he's not like... To me, he doesn't seem like the hardest person to draw.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But hey, what do I know?
What do you know?
But yeah, his face... And I think even with Dreamland as well, he doesn't look quite right.
Nothing in Dreamland looks right.
Wow, you really hated
Didn't hate Dreamland, but it like... Compared to Infinite Quest, Dreamland was a hard watch for me visually.
Interesting. Now, I'm the sort of person who would much rather watch a 2D animated thing than 3D stuff. Especially, I do like 3D animation.
You love your Batman.
I love my Batman, animated series and like all of those old Warner stuff, you know, Hanna-Barbera. Anything 2D is great. But I really enjoyed the visuals of Dreamland.
Really?
I thought it looked
quite
good.
Even when they moved?
I mean, I knew it was a bit janky, but I thought, honestly, this isn't that bad.
Wow.
So, I mean, I watched it with Annie. Annie had never seen either of them because why the hell would she? You
know, sure.
This sort of stuff didn't
reach
Brazil.
No.
So
somebody had the decency to sink the ship that had every copy of Dreamland on it before it got to Brazil.
So we watched both of them, not like you did, insanely, back to back.
I watched it back to back and it was a bad idea.
God, you must have been...
I don't know if that would have really affected my opinion of Dreamland, though.
Really? Okay.
I don't think so.
So we watched Infinite Quest on the weekend and we were like, oh yeah, okay, it's okay. And then we watched Dreamland last night. We really enjoyed it.
Really?
Yeah. But again, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Infinite Quest. I think Anthony Head's miscast.
Really?
Yeah.
Who would you have had instead? What kind of an actor?
It's not... I just think that... I mean, Anthony Head's great.
Mm.
But I just don't think his voice matches that character.
No, I know what you mean.
You know?
Bit too clipped.
Yeah, he just sounds like posh man.
Yeah,
and he's like,
he's
bandages and he's got all this like... You know, you think he's going to be a bit more of a doctor.
Totally.
And he's like, ah, oh, doctor, hello.
That's a...
a bit like, what?
I kind of feel like... The Hath came out of that.
Yeah, and the Vashta Narada came out of
the skeleton.
Oh
my God,
guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's miscast, but then also it's a case of, fucking hell, we're juggling totally Doctor Who, we're juggling, you know, Doctor Who Confidential. Anthony, if you want an extra
2K, do you want to come next door and just do these lines for this month? I mean, like, yeah. I'm fairly certain.
It would have been like a day.
It would have been done all as part of that, you know, that
Oh, whole, yeah, he was the narrator.
He was the narrator for Confidential.
Yeah, of course he was.
So I feel like that's all kind of tied up in that as well.
Yeah. Because it was Simon Pegg, wasn't it, did it?
Simon Pegg did it for the first series, and then it was all Anthony Head.
Wow.
I don't know who did it after that. Who did it after Anthony Head?
I mean, as soon as it went to the Moffat era, I completely switched off.
Series 5 of Doctor Who Confidential, nobody ever talks about.
No.
Series, was there a Series 6, or had it gone
there was,
by
There was a Series 6. I think I vaguely remember, no, I tell a lie, I think I might have caught a bit of Series 5. Mm. Oh, wait.
Go on.
I think Series 5 was narrated by the guy who was in...
Toby Jones. Is it Toby Jones?
Oh, I wasn't going to say Toby Jones, but it might have been Toby Jones. Mm. I thought it was the guy who played the vampire in Vampires of Venice. The guy, the son.
No, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, I don't know who it is either. But funny feeling it might have been him. Okay. He got his own action figure for some reason.
Bloody hell.
What's his name?
Oh, yeah. Has he got a green outfit?
He's sort of purple and he's got the big frilled thing. And he's got a sword and teeth. Vincenzo or something?
Vincenzo.
I can't remember.
I've been trying to compile a bit of a list of episodes that we haven't, you know... Periods of time with Doctor Who that we probably should talk about at some point. Series 5 is one of them.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about some of the lesser spotted stories. So I think Vampires of Venice is in there.
Yeah. I like Vampires of Venice.
We have to... I think... I know we've reviewed it as part of the Review of Death before.
Right.
But I do think at some point... We haven't done a Capaldi episode.
No, we haven't.
I think we have to go back.
No, we have. We did Heaven Sent Hellbent.
Yeah, but one of them's good. I think we have to go back and do In the Forest of the Night, but that's just me.
Oh!
I'll put it to a vote.
My God.
I'll go on the...
We've got some Series 6 stuff as well we need to do, Matt Smith stuff.
Oh, yeah, no, but that is coming up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm talking...
He's the mastermind behind all this. He just sits me down and says, watch this.
Right, Matt, we're talking about this today. Watch that, write your notes, and we're away.
Come in.
I'm the lad that prints them out. He's the boy that's got it on his phone.
Yeah.
You know, there we go. The Shell Shaded TARDIS in the opening title sequence.
Yeah.
No?
Weird.
Ah, I like it.
It just feels...
But can you imagine if they did another one or two after this?
Yeah.
I know this is in my head.
Yeah.
But like the difference between an animated episode and a regular episode is that the TARDIS is cell shaded.
Yeah. It just feels weird because obviously they've like dropped it on top of the existing TARDIS.
Yeah, there's a bit where you can see they've gone, oh, I can't be fucked animating it, and it just becomes the normal version.
Does it?
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's the when the credit comes up.
Oh, right.
And it goes into the distance enough for them to go, I mean, it's a blue box. and Gerard Groves, massive appreciation for sending copies of both of these.
Oh, did it? Was it Gerard?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
But Infinite Quest was in like... 360p. So if I was animating in 360p and it got that far into the distance of the time tunnel, I would have gone, fuck it. No, I'm not going to animate this anymore.
Fair enough. I watched it on DVD. Why I had this on DVD?
Yeah.
I think this was just in that stage where I was like, I must get all Doctor Who things. And then we got it and I was like, why should I get
But
this?
If you do what I do and you decide to move to another country,
right,
you might, those things that you go, I'll just get it, will just go on eBay.
Yeah.
And you can... You know, go and check my eBay.
I have no intention of moving to another country.
Not even Brazil?
Not even Brazil.
Not even Brazil?
No.
Wow, okay.
But I don't even think my Brazilian girlfriend wants to move back. To Brazil. So.
David Tennant.
Hello.
is
I don't know why I said that.
A fantastic voice actor.
He's really good.
Because I tell you what. He doesn't phone it in like Matt Smith does for the adventure games.
No.
Across both of these, he is fully into it.
But he's got previous because he did all the Big Finish stuff. He's got audio expertise.
Yeah, he did Big Finish, but he also did a few of the audio books, I think, for the...
He did.
And when I was listening to his audio...
Can you remember the sun?
And I was thinking, bloody hell, like, I've just got in my head the sun in your house.
My dad
I'm not looking at that page. Get out of it. Yeah, Like listening to him, it
sent spent me... a lot of time in that toilet afterwards.
Stop it! That's why your boiler doesn't. That's why the whole system's all clogged up. I listening to his voice doing these, it sent me right back to listening to those audiobooks, because in none of those does he phone it in either.
No, he's
just fully into it.
Yeah.
Whereas Matt Smith in the Adventure Games is, you know, you speak, you know, and he's, you know, has anybody got a Barocca? And he's fucking hungover, and you know, he's just a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but he's fantastic in both of these, and he sells it for me. I believe it.
This is the thing, it's like voice acting is such a fine art. Mm. I mean, I always love when Hollywood films cast a known actor in a voice role, and then you see all these voice actors, rightly so, say, this is bullshit, you know, you should have cast a voice actor.
Totally.
And like, you listen to someone like, one of my pet hates, Idris Elba. He cannot fucking voice
act. No!
In the amount of things that I've seen him in cartoons, I'm like, you don't say, you're not acting, you just say shit.
Yeah. The Idris Elba hate train has left the station. Let's go.
I know, I love Idris Elba, but he's not a voice actor.
And he shouldn't be James Bond because he's 98 years old. What do you think the 10th Doctor saw when he went onto the Infinite and it showed him his heart's desire?
I don't know, probably Rose Tyler bent over. Probably.
I was thinking the Master back on Gallifrey, bent over.
I can't believe when Martha Jones, it was him.
I know.
I was like,
So, according to... I'm going to do that like I know what I'm doing. According to the Doctor Who Encyclopedia, this takes place between 42 and human nature.
Yeah.
So she isn't... She hasn't quite caught up to the idea that he doesn't like her yet. So, as far as she is concerned, he's still game, and it might still happen. So...
I'm drinking this like it's a can
Coke.
Of Coke.
What's the ABV in it?
I don't know. It's all in German.
97? No, I don't know. I mean, it actually might be non-alcoholic, Matt.
I think it must be.
Yeah.
It tastes like Coca-Cola.
It says brewing company on the front of it. You might stumble out of here. I don't know.
Oh, God, I knew I should have paid more attention in those German lessons. Although I didn't think it really crossed talking about alcohol.
Das ist pissed, ja? She's still infatuated with him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, it's still kind of like...
There's a lot of weird huggy moments. When they hug, it always looks so weird.
There's two bits in it. One of them is like, oh, you know, that's kind of funny. And the second one is like, oh, fucking get a room, you
yeah,
two.
Yeah, it's really odd. I guess they're trying to, like, well, in the live show, they'd hug and be like, oh, Martha Jones. Oh. That doesn't happen.
I'm going to talk about that right now.
Right.
I don't know if there's a counter that I should have had in my head, but how many times he goes, oh, Martha Jones, you are brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's just like, she does all the heavy lifting in this mentally.
Yeah.
Like, he is just there to go, meh, with his sonic.
Yeah.
And she just goes, what if we did that? And he goes, oh, you are brilliant. And that's it. So, you know, like, she's basically the person that drives this story forward.
What was your favourite story within the...
Yeah, because it's split into a couple of different parts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably the pirate one.
I like the pirate one.
I thought that the one with the alien bee thing.
Sure.
The one where it's all green.
Yeah, yeah, like the giant praying mantis or whatever it is.
The person who played the praying mantis played Davros's sister in I, Davros.
Oh, interesting.
There you go. That's the information that I plucked out of my brain.
Impressive.
That was very talky.
That was the weakest.
Because, and that was when I sort of went, I wonder if this was commissioned as like, how do you think this was commissioned?
Yeah.
You're going to do 12 3 minutes.
I think
or
so.
Or 1:45.
I think it was commissioned as 12 3 minutes.
But then why is that part? That part is just dialogue.
Yeah,
it's waffle.
Weird. And I didn't really like all that stuff about like, oh, that sort of, oh, the aliens are actually,
I know.
They're baddies. No, they're not. Or the robots are actually human beings. And...
I think that conversation, it creeps into like the first 3.5 minute segment that's set on that world.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the next bit as well. Like,
right,
I'm
yeah.
sure there's it splits in half that segment.
Yeah, I just didn't really buy that whole subterfuge of like oh no, these are actually the baddies and we're actually nice and oh, I'm stuck in a robot.
Oh, that's a V-boy. There's the Welshie.
And then David Tennant's like, oh, I think you should be the ambassador for the humans. And it's like, I don't know, I'm just a private in the army.
And then he goes, hang on, we've got to leave Martha because the humanoids are going to kill us too. Like, isn't there, like,
I don't know.
Because he sets them on each other and there's, like... Oh, I'm sure there's genocidal implications to
possibly.
All of this.
Possibly. I sort of pieced out on that one.
Yeah.
I quite like the one with the robots in the prison.
I liked the bit where they go through his crimes.
Yeah.
And he's got all these library books he hasn't returned.
Yeah.
But also, you know, somewhere buried in there is multiple genocides. Yeah. No, they don't bring up. They bring up, you know, destruction of planets and all that sort of stuff. But they also seem to suggest that the Doctor is 3,000 years old at this point. They date his crimes back 3,000 years.
Okay, interesting. Maybe he travels that far.
Quite possibly.
But I mean, you know, who knows how old he is. He lies about his age.
There's a couple of really nice references in here. There's a name drop of the Nestines.
Yeah, and the Dark Arachnos Times.
And the Great Vampires and the Dark Times.
Yeah.
Did you also notice the Paradise Towers reference?
No.
It was very, very subtle. And I honestly wouldn't have noticed it if we hadn't reviewed it a fortnight ago.
Right, okay.
Mr. Swab, at the beginning of one of his sentences, says, mayhaps. As in, maybe. It's one of the Kang sayings.
Oh, okay.
Mayhaps.
I thought mayhaps was. Is that not just
maybe.
I don't know.
Alan Barnes, write into us and tell us whether or not that was a reference. But I thought that was a sneaky little reference.
Maybe
to something else.
Well, yeah, people say mayhaps. Mayhaps meaning. Yeah, mayhaps.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm sure that one of the Kangs says mayhaps in Paradise Towers.
But they might do.
If they'd come out and said, "You're ice hot, Doctor," then I would have gone. Fair enough. There you go. Yeah, it's an interesting... I have to say, it's the one that I preferred out of the two.
Yeah.
Because we'll get into Dreamland in a bit.
Yeah.
But it's definitely the one that I sort of...
Interesting.
...enjoyed the most watching, yeah.
Right, okay. What would have your heart's desire been?
A load of weed and some Bob Marley albums. I don't know.
Wow.
A PlayStation 5. I don't know what to say.
A PlayStation 5.
And a house for my parents if they want, you know, they want somewhere to live.
I don't know.
What would your heart's desire have been?
The non-R-rated version. Yeah, security for life.
Yeah. When you asked me that, you weren't expecting that answer back, though, were you? You weren't expecting that kind of like a down-to-earth response.
Yeah.
I want health and prosperity.
Yes, please.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's good.
We'll go for that.
Fine.
Anything else to say about Infinite Quest?
Anything else to say about Infinite Quest? No, I think that's that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that us done?
I think that's... Yeah, I think that's probably
Let's
it.
Let's get on to Hellscape. I mean, Dreamland.
Oh, come on. It wasn't that bad.
It ran from the 21st to the 26th of November, available on the BBC Doctor Who website and BBC Red Button. Remember that?
Yeah.
Between...
I was surprised. I couldn't remember this. I was sure it was like some totally Doctor Who thing.
No, I thought it was the same thing as well. But apparently
and then I was
not.
Like, wait, no, it couldn't have been. It wasn't on.
It had an omnibus broadcast on BBC Two on the 5th of December.
I remember that.
I watched, again, thank you, Gerard, a version that was broadcast on BBC HD.
Yeah.
That was a channel.
Yeah.
Weird watching the idents for that and going, oh my God, I can't remember that shit.
Yeah, it was really strange.
Originally split into six episodes, which makes it the first televised six-parter since the Armageddon Factor.
Right.
Animated.
I mean, technically, it's one story. It's not six episodes. I mean, I know that's
six
how
parts.
Six parts.
Six parts.
Yeah, it's still
well
one episode. Really.
Here's the thing, Matthew. An episode is a part. If you say Dreamland is a story split into six episodes.
Well, no, I mean it is one episode. Fuck the cliffhangers that they've.
I think some Doctor Who fans born in the 60s would say, "I'm angry at you." Let us know. Is a part and an episode interchangeable?
It's dreamland, though, isn't it? This isn't... I'm not saying that bloody Marco Polo is seven separate stories.
No. But from 2005 onwards, an episode is one story. But from 89 back, an episode and a part are interchangeable as words, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
We're there.
Okay.
Animated by Little Loud. They folded in 2013.
No, dear.
That's all I have to tell you. Oh. Starring David Warner in his first televised Doctor Who role.
Yeah. He was great.
Tim Hauer, who is a very white Canadian playing a Native American. He is part of...
I was waiting for that.
There you go.
I didn't want to look.
I know. I mean, I think it was probably bound to be the case if you were to Google it.
Actually, when we watched it and he turned up and he went, oh no. And when the arrows start flying.
I know, and his dad turns up and goes, oh shit, no, there's another one.
She's like, oh no, they're not, are they?
he's part of the supergroup Mike and the Mechanics, if people want to look that up. It's got some has-beens in it. Georgia Tennant is in this. I think she's credited as Moffat here.
Because Georgia Moffat,
they haven't got together yet and had their babies.
Yeah.
Nicholas Rowe plays the male grey alien. He also played the Candyman in Ravenous, in the first Ravenous box set.
Interesting.
Lisa Bowman is also in this.
Yeah.
And Stuart Milligan is in this as Colonel...
Stark. Yeah, Tony
Stark. Who also
Stark.
Played Nixon in the Series 6 opener.
I thought it was the same guy.
There you go.
Interesting. Okay.
So this is Doctor Who finally doing Roswell.
Yeah.
An alien spaceship shits itself in the New Mexico desert.
Yeah, I mean, it's big brown thing.
It is, but that's because, you know, texturing would cost money. in 1947, and it crashes in the New Mexico desert, and then all hell breaks loose. Hmm. Literal hell, because... right. I'm going to go through the list here.
Okay, fine. Go on, then.
3D... Doctor Who animations.
Right.
Dreamland.
Yeah.
The Web of Fear.
Yeah.
And Daleks.
Yeah.
If you can't afford to do it, well, don't do it.
Yeah.
Pixar, this is not. And fair enough, because they probably had a budget of 67 pence. But I would much prefer a 2D animation style if this is what the 3D version would look like.
See, I didn't mind it.
It looked like a PlayStation 2 cutscene.
It did look like... That was exactly what I said to Annie when we watched
it. But upscaled into high definition.
Yeah.
But, like... This, you know, the PlayStation 3 has come out by this point. You know, stuff looks a bit better. You know, it's budgetary limitations.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's limitations beyond our comprehension.
Yeah.
In terms of... Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, we can't stretch to this.
It felt very much like they were trying to do Star Wars Clone Wars, but like you said...
It's got Clone Wars animation style.
Yeah, because Clone Wars... When I was watching this, I was like, there's something... Not only because, obviously, they move like... Whatever they move like bloody they're in treacle. But there's something Gerry Anderson-esque about the way they look and the way that they move.
The dead eyes... The thousand-yard stare, the slack jaws,
and Clone Wars was inspired by Gerry Anderson.
Was it?
Yeah.
Ah.
But obviously, Lucasfilm have fucked ton of money.
Well, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I just think, like, you know, Doctor Who is animations are somewhere between off-the-shelf animation kits, and you know, top-of-the-line 2D animations.
Yeah.
I don't think 3D at this point. 3D animation existed.
Right.
That was like a happy middle ground between the two.
Yeah.
Without looking like Dreamland.
Wow. I actually didn't think it was that bad.
No.
I thought the aliens looked great.
The Vol...
Yeah. Oh, I got them written down.
Buzz? What are they called? the...
Viperox.
Viperox.
Yeah.
Yeah. They look cool.
They were good.
And the flying thing was cool.
Yeah.
The grey aliens.
Yeah. Well, they look green.
Well, they're kind of... One's blue, one's green.
Yeah.
This is where I started to... I mean, maybe I'm thick. But this is where I started to stumble in my understanding of the story.
Right.
Because, right, so... tell me Dreamland, the story, from as far as you could work out.
So... The female alien had crash landed on Earth. Yeah. That was Roswell. Mm. She was locked up in Area 51.
Yeah.
The new alien, her husband, he crash lands on Earth.
Yeah.
And he is a genetic scientist from a planet where the Viperox have invaded and are at war with them.
Yeah.
And he has created this little doohickey, which I forget what it was called, that MacGuffin. It's like the ionic fusion bar.
Yeah.
Is that cut? The secret agent guy kept saying it. That has the DNA material in it of the Viperox. Mm-hmm. And if the little blue guy activates it, it will completely wipe out that race.
Yeah.
So the Viperox have come to Earth, befriended Colonel Stark, and explained what the situation is, that they've got this war criminal on this planet, and they've said, oh, if you give us this guy and kill him, because he's going to kill us, we'll give you the technology that he was going to use against us, so you can use it to wipe out all of the Russians during the Cold War, which I thought was great. I thought, oh, that was a clever little bit of,
Sure.
But then the Doctor does something to the thing. So instead of it, killing them all, it just makes a noise and they go, and they fly off
and they fly away and that's the end of the story.
Because he knows that in the future, the Viperox are going to be a peaceful race. Yeah. They completely abandon war.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that right? Georgia Moffat with an American accent.
Come over here.
It's got about as much personality as the CG model. I think she just looked at him and thought, she's dead.
She's dead behind the eyes. Yeah. I will put in the same performance. And David went, I do think come over here and don't tell your daddy.
And I don't think it's even necessarily her. I think it's just, as the parts are written for the companions.
Yeah, well, but both Jimmy and Cassie disappear basically halfway through the story.
Yeah.
They don't have any input into it past the point where they fall into the Viperox cave.
Yeah.
And Jimmy gets,
they're just being dragged along and they just ask questions. Like, exactly. What's this?
So apparently, Lady Grey Alien, that Lisa Bowman plays.
Yeah.
She was supposed to breach some kind of some kind of a treaty to wipe out the Viperox on her landing.
Right.
But then I feel like you mix that in with the genetic doodaddy.
Yeah.
Mixed with the Men in Black, who were also involved in this whole thing.
Yeah, the Alliance of Shades.
Yeah.
That was clever. I liked that. I like that there's like a Men in Black, but they're aliens.
But they're actually, so that explains the Men in Black.
Yeah, it's great.
And the Blue Octopus in
that. That was weird.
What the fuck is that about?
Well, yeah, that was where I was a bit like, oh, I think this is like one element too many.
For me, watching it, and I was watching it, as I do with most things, with the mental intelligence of an eight-year-old.
Yeah.
All of it went over my head.
Right.
Probably because I was distracted by the visuals.
Yeah.
But that blue alien in the Air Force base, and is that Air Force base supposed to be Area 51
as
well?
That's Area 51. That's Indiana Jones.
The only bit that I liked in that was the Doctor and
the Lisa
Bowman solid snaking their way out.
It was great.
That was the only bit that I was enjoying.
I mean, I like that whole sequence because, oh yeah, it was Indiana Jones nod. I mean, I think it was even modelled.
It looks like that like big that pull shot. Looks like that big shot.
But yeah, the weird thing with the alien, that it was like, oh, can't go down there because there's an alien. I guess they just needed something to add a few minutes of jeopardy. And it was just like, oh, we'll have a giant glowing octopus made out of flies or whatever it was.
Exactly. I felt like they were, for what is supposed to be, and like, fine, it's presented in a better 45-minute format as like a straight episode of Doctor Who than The Infinite Quest is. But I feel like The Infinite Quest hits that cartoon Saturday morning Doctor Who animation dynamic that I'd prefer rather than Dreamland.
Right, okay.
I just feel like doing a 45-minute cartoon in that animation style, expecting me to watch it and not be foaming at the mouth for the majority of it, I just think that story didn't, and the animation didn't serve each other.
Okay.
You know, like, I know that it was repeated on CBBC a couple of times after it went out. But I just can't imagine an audience of children sitting down to watch it in the same way that Infinite Quest went out.
Right.
I know it's different. I just think what Infinite Quest is going for works better as an animation than Dreamland does.
Okay.
But that I may be an outlier in that.
I just really enjoyed it. I think it was just, I thought it felt more like, I sort of felt like if I shut my eyes, I could, or squinted, I could imagine this as a actual Doctor Who story.
Yeah.
And I thought that, you know, it was incredibly action-packed. I was really surprised, like that stuff where they're blowing up the town and when he's swiveling around in the van and there's all the explosions going on. I was thinking like, wow,
that.
This is
when they find that abandoned, when they find Solitude.
Yeah.
I thought, well, there's another place, there's another location that's just opened up to us. And it doesn't seem like it's restricted by, you can have six sets.
Yeah.
And four movable, posable action figure type characters.
Yeah.
Like, it does seem to keep expanding through the story.
Yeah.
And then you get the rooftop bit and the helicopters.
Yeah. It was really, I was really quite surprised and pleasantly surprised. And I thought the story, as it was pretty damn good. I mean, all right, I know there was that element of, alien romance, which obviously became something that really bogged down the Moffat era, where
big
it was
time.
Like, oh,
big time.
It's all love, it's love, it's fuck off.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good story and I thought that kind of worked here. But it's Phil Ford wrote it, you know, and
he wrote
of Waters of Mars and Into the Dalek. So again, he's got
pedigree.
He's got pedigree.
Talking of pedigree, I have got two great lines that I really liked.
Yeah.
Aslock says, "You are not of this world. I hear two hearts beating." The Doctor says, "Check their rhythm. I'm not scared of you."
Yeah.
That was a fucking brilliant line of dialogue.
Yeah.
And also Dredd, one of the Men in Black. "I am Mr. Dredd and these are my associates." The Doctor says, "Let me guess, Mr. Fear, Mr. Terror and Mr. Apprehension."
Yeah.
Was brilliant.
Yeah.
And David Tennant sells that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you could, like, this is no reflection on Matt Smith as an actor.
No.
But I can hear how he would read that. And
he
wouldn't read it in the context of the line that's come before. He would read it as, give me the lines that I need to say and I will say them. Let me guess, Mr. Terror, Mr. Fear, and Mr. Apprehension. You know, like, it wouldn't have been done in quite the same contextual way.
Yeah.
But I believe maybe not one of these two, the actors were actually in the room together.
Right.
Performing the lines back and forth.
Yeah.
And, you know, just David Tennant leading the line.
Yeah.
It kind of makes everybody else up their game because he isn't half-arsing any of this.
There's a lot of talented people in this one.
A lot of talented people.
Yeah.
The sonic screwdriver in Dreamland, though,
did
make me want to knock someone out because it is in magic wand mode.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I can also appreciate it is an extension of the characters because they probably can't interact with the environment in the same way.
Yeah.
So, but there were two moments where he sonics something and it sparks in someone's face.
Yeah,
and
the soldiers.
And that somehow stops them from pursuing him.
I said to Annie, I was like, oh, this is in America. They wouldn't have come in and said, stop, don't move. They just shot them as soon as they went.
Everybody would have been dead. Everybody.
And the Doctor would have got up and gone, fuck me. If this is going to happen every time I go to America, I get shot. Well, bollocks.
I mean, it pretty much has happened. In a couple of weeks/months time, we'll be talking about The Impossible Astronaut, so we can.
Will we?
Yeah, we will.
Wow.
Well, I'm gonna tell you guys a little bit about what's coming up in the future.
Oh.
It may be a surprise to Matthew as well.
Oh my god.
I've got a couple of grievances I just need to go through.
Yeah.
There's a horribly truncated version of the theme and title sequence.
Yeah.
At the beginning of this.
Yeah.
Weird. Which is like the Infinite Quest was chopped into 3.5 minute segments.
Yeah.
And the full release of that managed to have a properly nice title sequence.
Yeah.
Why didn't this?
That is weird.
I don't understand why
that was. Did the title sequence have an updated TARDIS?
No, but it did have...
The text is weird.
The text was different. The text was not done by whoever does the animated text for the main series. There is... In the first sort of 5 minutes, there's a weird amount of motion blurring in the animation that I noticed that doesn't really crop up again.
Okay.
But there's a couple of things that were just sort of like,
that feels like somebody should have gone, I think we need to maybe look at that again.
Yeah.
So there's that. There's a shot where they escape the amnesia gas chamber.
Yeah.
They drop down out of an air duct. The doctor looks down a corridor, and then three soldiers rez out of nowhere.
Right.
One of them at the back, I'm fairly sure, is T-posing as they run down the corridor.
Maybe he was.
When Aslock and Stark have their first chat in Stark's office.
Yeah.
There's a mid shot of Stark and it's over Aslock's shoulder. And then it cuts to a close up of Stark, but the background doesn't move.
Oh, really?
So he sort of just looks like he teleports towards the camera.
Oh, interesting.
In a sort of like, fucking, like, how did you not
notice
that?
Well, I didn't notice it. So.
Well, you didn't notice that. Maybe I was just looking for grievances. And the last one was, in the final scene where the TARDIS is parked in the sort of main alien processing bit, the police public call box signage disappears in a couple of shots.
Does it?
It just goes totally black.
Just forgot to turn the lights on.
On the sign, but obviously.
Yeah. I mean, my main grievance with the TARDIS was that it was the prop was too small.
The prop was too small.
It wasn't to scale. But I thought it looked nice.
It did look nice in 3D.
Yeah. And it was good when they put it on the back of that truck.
Yeah, and they drove it around.
Yeah.
I was thinking
about
the way that this was put together. And there are nice shots in this. I was kind of thinking, if you did a cool sort of, you know, somebody did a music video where they did the 40th anniversary music video with the orbital theme.
But they
cut in bits from the new series as well.
Yeah.
If you were to take bits from the animation, which bits would you put in? And there are moments from Dreamland that look really nice.
Mm.
You know, the stuff mainly in darkness when they're kind of attacking Solitude and the big alien bug dudes are running around and stuff does look nice. I just couldn't get over the barrier of, even though this was made in 2009 and probably made on a budget of 69 pence, I just couldn't get over the way it looked. And
shame.
I think that was a barrier for me enjoying it.
Oh, what shame.
But like I said, there were some lines of dialogue in there I really liked.
Yeah.
And the way that it maintained its sort of action levels all the way through. It wasn't like they blew the budget in the first 6 minutes. You know, I appreciate it.
Yeah.
David Warner as a massive bug is pretty good.
Yeah. My one grievance with this really was when he blinked, that annoying squeak noise.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that of all the noises.
You've killed the villainy of this monster.
Yeah, like all of his mandible stuff was great because it was like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you just like, eep.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck?
Less villainous than we would have liked.
So I was like, just do like a little.
But yeah, I mean, I think Dreamland is fine, but I have to say I prefer the Infinite Quest.
Interesting.
Out of the two of them. And you're the opposite.
And I'm the opposite. I prefer Dreamland. I thought it just worked more as a...
Mm.
It felt more like a Doctor Who story.
I think maybe I prefer my Doctor Who cartoons as like Saturday morning
daftness
rather than trying to...
Be Doctor Who!
Slip right into the canon and, you know... Just
is it canon? Part. Will it canon?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Both of them must be. Although I don't think the BBC acknowledge
it's not on the BBC
the Infinite
website
Quest as being part of Series 3.
Well, neither are on the current Doctor Who website.
Mm. But Dreamland takes place between the Waters of Mars and the End of Time.
Yeah. I mean, they both can easily slot in.
Yeah. I think when we get into this new Disney period of Doctor Who, I think Russell just needs to go... Everything's canon. I mean, Chibnall has opened the doors for everything being canon. I think we just need to get a list of where everything slots in. Because the Infinite Quest absolutely should be considered canon.
Mm.
And so should Dreamland.
Yeah. And I hope that when they do the collection set Series 3 and Series 4, these are on there.
I'm sure they will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get the trailers for them and... We'll
and I hope, like, Attack of the Grask, that should be on the Series 2.
Attack of the Grask, but it's interactive, just like the BBC Red Button version was.
I'm sure that's doable.
Even if you have to have it on a separate disc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on,
I'm really annoyed that it never happened, to
no.
be honest. Because that was, like, his... I mean, I can remember Christmas Day.
Me too.
Fuck me. Right, Doctor Who's up. Right now, we got to go and put Red Button.
That bit where he says, point your remote control at the screen.
Yeah.
It acts like a sonic screwdriver.
Yeah.
And then I pointed it and then the effect was like it rippled out the sonic waves from the screen. I was like, Mum and Dad, It's doing it. I'm a Time Lord. It would be brilliant. I mean, we won't be able to do it, but if we could find a way to do
Attack of the Grask.
As like a little,
I need your help.
That is, it's
that is
so
ingrained
good.
In my head.
Yeah. It bursts the doors open. And then there's a bit where I remember when the Slitheen like crashes out of the pod. Yeah, it was brilliant. Man, Attack of the Grask.
And obviously the Grask became a Sarah Jane Adventures baddie.
It did.
Got a toy.
Jimmy V
home.
Got three action figures out of his time on Doctor Who. Mox of Balloon.
The pig.
Oh, four. Pig, Balakafalata.
Oh yeah, Balakafalata.
And the Grask.
Wow.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Fair play, man. Well, there we go. If we can, you know, respect anybody in this situation, it's Jimmy V.
Yeah.
That's what we've come to the conclusion of.
What a weird twist we've
after watching both of these Doctor Who animations, neither of which he's involved in, all we can say is God bless Jimmy V.
MVP.
He is the real hero here.
God, what?
Well, I think you have to sign it off. Yeah, you're the only person that can take
control. Are you going to tell me what's happening? Come on.
I'm going to tell you what's going on next.
I want to know. I don't
Matthew
know what this is all about.
He's on tenterhooks. He's trying to assert his dominance by putting his feet on the table.
Yeah.
Right. So we've done the Infinite Quest in Dreamland. That happened just now. Next up is the Roddies.
Yes.
Which you would have all already started voting for. Then we're going to look at Frontios.
Yeah.
Then, because it's your birthday coming up at the end of March, Matthew Toffolo, we're going to watch The Pyramids of Mars.
Hey!
Then we've got The Impossible Astronaut, and coming up sort of in the middle of the year, The Ambassadors of Death.
Ooh, interesting.
The Gunfighters.
Oh, I feel like we should get you-know-who for The Gunfighters.
Yeah, we could have a word.
Yeah, we could do that. Because I'm sure they really like The Gunfighters, don't they?
Are we thinking of the same person?
I think so.
Well, we'll have to double check after the end of this. In the Forest of the Night. Or maybe another 12th Doctor story. We'll figure that out. But
in the Forest of the Night. That's what I can ever think whenever I hear that.
For episode 50, which is going to be towards the end of April.
Wow, my
Matthew
God.
Matthew Toffolo. I have projected us.
My life out.
I have projected us forward in time to do The Five Doctors. Because it's episode 50, so it feels like we have to do a big one. And you know, it's Doctor Who's 60th anniversary year.
Yeah.
You know, let's go back and do the big hitters. Maybe in November of this year, we'll do an Unearthly Child. But you know, we've got so
in
much
in colour because they
would have animated it. Yeah. You know, whatever. Well, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But you know, there's so much of Doctor Who still to cover. There's so much of Doctor Who still to do. And it's all still to play for here on The Review of Death.
Yeah, and by the time you watch this, we'll probably be talking about the Season 9 Blu-ray at some point.
Well, there we go. So we'll be doing something Season 9 related at some point there.
Maybe we could do Sea Devils. Because we did Curse of Peladon. Or do we do something mad like The Mutants? We did.
I think the thing we need to do is we need to pace ourselves with the big boys. We need to kind of spread them out a little bit more.
Spread those big boys out.
Spread those big boys out. What else can we... What's the kind of lowliest Season 9 episode apart from The Mutants?
Time Monster.
Oh,
but
shit.
We didn't... I mean, we never really talked about it.
We talked about it a bit with Chris
Chapman. It again.
Yeah.
Well, I will watch it again because that one...
It's on Blu-ray. All right. We'll do the Time Monster as well this year as well.
I've got to get...
Yeah!
Oh, can we do something like
what
that?
What else is in that season?
Day of the Daleks. Curse of Peladon.
I want to save some Dalek ones.
The Mutants. The Sea Devils. I've got those around the wrong way.
We haven't done a Dalek story in a bit.
No.
Okay, we'll do Day of the Daleks, but you can watch the special edition.
Okay.
With the new CGI.
Yeah.
And Nicholas Briggs earning a paycheck. And I will do the OG. Whoever
that is operating the time machine
is an enemy of the Daleks. That Dalek was played by fucking Toast of London. Whoever is operating. There we go. Thanks for watching The Review of Death, everybody. We'll be back with more fun and frolics and hopefully some more Stephen Toast references in the future. Goodbye.
Bye.